today you're going to find about a mission field that needs more than an hour a week work. A mission field that is ripe for the harvest. You're going to hear about a mission field that the Wesleyan Church has been in, and we've been instrumental in controlling sex trafficking and child pornography. You would not believe what it was like when the church first started over there. But it's different than what we hear. You always think of the mission field as somewhere safe and easy to be in. It's not always that way. So we're going to invite Colette up here to share with you. She's going to tell you all about the mission field and the work that's happening in the Wesleyan Church.
I was standing in the middle of the African jungle where a thriving orphanage stood in the dirt. We were taken to a gated yard where about 31-year-olds were released to us for some outside time. I watched the caregivers as they broke up oranges and tossed them around on the ground for the kids to snatch up, like the many monkeys I had seen in my time in Africa. The smell of poop, drool, and citrus filled the air as my eyes caught one of the babies snacking on an orange. I watched him chowing down on this orange as another child crawled up to him, took it out of his mouth, and started eating it himself. And I was pretty disgusted by that. All this baby boy could do was sit there and cry. I scanned the backyard, but nobody seemed to be paying attention to him. So I picked him up, I snuggled him close, and I found an orange on the ground that I reluctantly picked up because I have a thing for food that's hit the ground. And I fed it to this now happy, smiling baby. As I sat there and held him amongst the chaos, my world went quiet. It was just me, this baby, and God. I heard the whispers of the Lord say to me, "This is my plan for you. Go out into the world and be my hands and feet." So that was the moment I knew that I would spend my life in God's mission field, seeking the lost and bringing them to Jesus. Global Partners is the Wesleyan Mission Sending Organization. Because I grew up in the Wesleyan Church, I've always known about them. But I really connected with them once I was in college. So I attended Oklahoma Wesleyan University. And once I became a global studies major, so I switched my major from business to global studies, and global studies is code word for global mission. They would send mobilizers to the school, and I got to connect with them and see what missions really was all about. So a little bit about Global Partners. I've got some numbers here for you. 84, this is the number of units. That is a family unit or a single who are currently serving on the field right now through Global Partners. 52 is the number of countries that Global Partners currently has missionaries serving in around the world. 8,099 is the number of miles from this church to Phnom Penh International Airport in Cambodia. So that gives you an idea of how far away that is from here. And those other numbers I'm going to get to in a little bit, so you can maybe be thinking and guessing what could 26 and 97 mean. Now, the goal in Global Partners is to seek out the lost, that the 4 in 10 who don't have access to the gospel could be reached. And yeah, that means there are 4 in 10 people around the world who do not have access to the gospel. And this is something that I wanted to be a part of. Global Partners' mission statement is amplifying local church mission for global transformation. Of course, after I graduated college, I wanted to focus on paying down my student debt. So it would be several years before I reconnected with the organization. The past 5 years, I've been working as the children's director at another Wesleyan church in Washington. In February of 2022, an old friend of mine who is a mobilizer reached out to me, and I knew that I was ready and that God was opening for global missions. And now I also got to learn a lot more about the mission statement of Global Partners this past summer. I was invited to their big summit global conference in Athens, Greece, and I was reminded of God's perfect timing as I had the chance to participate in this conference that the entire organization was at. All of those missionaries were there, and they hadn't done a conference like this in 7 years. And I was able to meet my team, who's currently serving in Cambodia. That was really cool, and God just continued to confirm that this is where he wanted me to go. And so first team photo together, and it was just so fun to be able to spend time with them before actually moving there. Now, a beautiful country in Southeast Asia where Global Partners currently has this flourishing team. When I heard a bit about what was going on there, I knew that I needed to be a part of it. Now, to give a little context of where this is, I've got a map here of Southeast Asia. There's many people who think Cambodia is actually in Africa. It is here in Southeast Asia. So it is colors are kind of hard to tell. There's a brown little country right there next to Thailand and Vietnam. Cambodia. Above that is China up there, and below us is Australia. So that gives you an idea of where we are on the map. And also that is, I think, 12 hours ahead of time here in Bismarck. Yes, I had to do the math because it's 14 from where I am. So, yes, 12 hours ahead of you guys here. Now, I also have a few fun facts about Cambodia. So, number one, this is one of the few countries in the world that has no McDonald's. There are world travelers who like to visit the McDonald's in several other countries and compare them to American McDonald's. You're not going to get that chance in Cambodia, but I can promise you we have some really good food that replace your McDonald's over there. Next is Cambodia is home to the largest religious building in the world. This is Angkor Wat. This ancient Buddhist temple. And it is a place now, it's not active, but people come here just to tour it and to see it. And so I have to apologize to Pastor Keith. This is not actually the largest religious building in the world. It is Angkor Wat over there in Cambodia. And the last fun fact I have is the Khmer language, which I will be learning, has the largest alphabet out of all active languages in the world currently, with a total of 74 letters. So I've given you a little idea. These are some of their letters, and this is the language I'm going to be learning. So please be praying for me, and this is going to be a lot different than English compared to 56 letters. So yeah, that's a few of the letters that they have over there. Now, religious persecution is just one of the many struggles that the Khmer people face, especially in the younger generation. You see, Cambodia is one of the youngest nations in the world with an average age of 26 years old. This means that over 50% of the population is Gen Z. So Gen Z is between the ages of 11 and 25, and that takes up 50% of their population right now. Cambodia is also a 97% Buddhist country. So if you're thinking about those numbers, those are here. 26, the average age of Khmer people, and 97 is the percentage of Buddhism in the country. And then my next slide, I've got a little pie chart for you to see the religious affiliation in the country and kind of get a glance at that. Buddhism, again, is at 97%. This says Christianity is at 0.3%. I learned that it's actually up to 1%. So that is a huge praise, but also very small compared to what else is going on over there. Now, if you were to ask a Gen Z Buddhist why they're Buddhist, they're not going to know how to answer with much more than, well, this is my family tradition. That being said, the younger generation is much more open to the gospel, especially because they do allow freedom of religion in the country, whereas many of the Asian countries surrounding them do not. Unfortunately, they're still faced with religious persecution. This comes from their communities and their families. If one decides to become a Christian, they can get a lot of backlash, such as physical and emotional abuse, abandonment, and shame, just to name a few. Along with that, while there is local Christian church in the country, these leaders are hesitant. They take caution reaching into new communities, and this is something our missionaries have seen as a problem. Now, it's one thing to hear the percentage of 97% Buddhist. It's another thing to see this in action. I recently had the opportunity to visit Cambodia and spend some time in the country and spend some time with my team. And I quickly came to see what 97% Buddhist really looks like. And I want you to see this too. So I've got some pictures here. First one is that's in the middle of a roundabout there in Cambodia, and it is a very large Khmer Buddha. And this is seen all over the country. You'll see these big statues of the Buddhas. Like this is right in the middle of a roundabout that people drive around, and they come to this and they'll worship it. They will burn incense. They will bring gifts to this. And it's very common to see these all around the country. And then that next picture, those are called spirit houses. They're about the size of a birdhouse, and you see them everywhere. These are outside of people's homes, outside of people's workplaces. They are all over the country. And this house represents the place where the spirits of that land reside. And the Khmer people worship these, and they want to appease the spirits since they are being allowed to live on the land. And so if something happens to them, something bad, something that, you know, takes place on the land, there's a really bad flood, they will think it's because they angered the spirits in some way. And so they'll come burn incense and things like that here. And that's one of their Khmer Buddhist traditions that is just very ingrained in these people. And so these are just some of the things that we're up against as Christians in Cambodia. Now, Nong is a youth. He is 19 years old, and he comes from a family that's very Buddhist. His grandfather is the leader of a Buddhist temple. In 2019, he told a missionary he had a strong desire to become a Christian, but he said, "I must wait for my parents to die to make that decision." And he said this because he was afraid of how much dishonor he would bring to his family. If we don't take action, people like Nong are not going to know the hope that Jesus brings us. We have this unique opportunity with this overflowing young generation to open their eyes to the glory of God and to teach them the saving grace of Jesus, to change their answer of why they believe what they believe from its family tradition to "because Jesus saved me." There's so many more people just like Nong living in this country who are afraid to leave their Buddhist background. My vision is to see barriers be broken in Cambodia, to see no dark places throughout the country. My hope is to see this through discipling youth and teaching them how to go out and do the same, so that one by one, Jesus' light will shine down on the country. Now, our team is collectively working on seeing sustainability in the local churches. We want to see these ministry leaders able to bring up and disciple leaders on their own without the missionaries' help. Right now, there's 5 Wesleyan churches in Cambodia. It was really cool to see this. I had the opportunity to visit 3 of them while I was there. And I think I have a picture of that. Yeah. So it was really cool to walk in and see that sign that says the Wesleyan Church of Cambodia right there. I was like, oh, I'm at home. And so I got to see how the pastors care so deeply about our missionaries. They've partnered and worked together so well, and our pastors really appreciate that. They're taking steps, and they're ready to grow their churches. They're ready to learn how to disciple and to be able to reach more people. I was able to meet with them, and they were delighted to meet me and bring about ideas of how I'm going to be involved in their ministries, such as being able to teach Bible stories to the children. Now, remember how I mentioned there are 4 in 10 people around the world who don't have access to the gospel. Cambodia is one of those countries that has a lot of people like this living there. On a visit with one of our pastors, here I have a photo of our pastor. We were out in a village walking around their property. And he told us that their church has been bursting out of the seams with children. They have 50 kids coming to service every Sunday. They've had to open up new locations to find space for all these kids, and it was a huge praise. And these are kids who have never heard the name of Jesus. I mean, think about that. Here in America, it's pretty rare people have at least heard of Jesus. They've heard of a Bible. They've heard of God. Here in Cambodia, these are kids who have never, ever heard of Jesus. They don't know what a Bible is. And it's hard to get your mind around that. And these are kids I'm going to have the opportunity to teach. The question is, what will these kids do with this information? Are they going to take it home to their parents? Are their parents going to be receptive to the message? Or will their parents decide to not allow them to come anymore because they're hearing about what these kids are learning? These are the things I'm praying about, and I would ask you to join me in prayer for these as well. I'm still in awe that God has called me to serve overseas, and while it's nerve-wracking to be moving to a foreign country, I fell in love with Cambodia while I was there. And I can hardly wait to become intertwined with the Khmer culture, and my heart just aches to be with them again and have opportunities to share the gospel with them. Now you might be wondering, why leave the comforts of America when this country needs missionaries just as much? And that's where you come in. God calls every follower to be a missionary. And so I want to take just a couple of minutes to share from Scripture and encourage you as a congregation. And I want to take us back to the basics. So we're going to take a look at the Great Commandment. This is found in Matthew 22. I'll have it on the screen, or you can open your Bibles with me. Verses 36 through 39 says this. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I've always looked at this and thought, yeah, I'll love my neighbor as myself. I will take care of those in need. I will treat people with kindness. I get the gist. But as I looked deeper into this, I saw more. If the greatest commandment for us as believers is to love the Lord our God with everything we have, then what is loving our neighbor if not inviting them to also love and be known and loved by God? So my takeaway is this. To love your neighbor as yourself is to share the good news with them. What greater love is there than giving the opportunity for somebody else to have eternity with their Savior? I recently took a course as a training for my missions work called Perspectives. One of the stories that they shared in our textbook was about a missionary who had gone to a people group who had never heard the gospel with. And he shared the gospel with them and they accepted. One of the natives came to the missionary and he said, how long have you known about Jesus? And the missionary looked at him and he said, well, my people have known about Jesus for hundreds of years. And this local, he was just astonished and he said, what took you so long to bring it to us? And it's really a sobering story. It's one of the many reasons I personally feel called to go out onto the mission field and share the gospel with those who haven't heard it before. And once you know the gospel message, it is your job as a Christian to share it with those around you, whether you stay in America or go somewhere else. I was recently listening to another pastor, and he said it this way, go where he tells you to go and remain where he tells you to stay. We're not all called to go overseas, but we are all called to be missionaries for the sake of the gospel. Another example of this is found in the book of Mark, chapter 5. This is also going to be here on the screen, verses 18 through 20. For context, this is right after Jesus went and he cast demons out of a man, sent them into pigs, and they went off of the cliff. And so that just happened, and we're jumping in here at the end. Verse 18 says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Jesus said, go home. Tell your people. And what happened? They were amazed. Testimonies are powerful. Stories are a powerful thing. So if you're finding yourself asking, how do I become a missionary in my own home? Tell someone your story. Share how God has worked in your life with a friend of yours. I just had a conversation with a friend this past week, and she was sharing her testimony with me, and I sat there amazed and encouraged just by listening to what he's done for her. And you'll be amazed, and maybe you've already seen this in your life, how the story of what God has done for you can really touch someone else's life. I mean, think about the Great Commission in Acts 1. It starts at home. Jesus says, go to Jerusalem, and then to Judea, and then Samaria, and the ends of the earth. It starts in Jerusalem at home. For you guys, that's here in Bismarck, right here at home. So I challenge you to take a good look at your life. How are you loving people around you? When's the last time you shared the gospel with somebody else? When's the last time you ignored the nudge from God to share your story and speak the good news to somebody? I heard a pastor say it this way. There's nothing more tragic than a sailboat that never leaves the harbor. So where is your sailboat? Is it sitting there in the harbor, waiting to go out? Has everything it needs? When's the last time your sailboat left the harbor? He's waiting to use you. He's waiting for you to share your testimony of how he has worked in your life so that he can change the lives of others. And he'll never be done using you. That's the amazing thing, is he never is done with you. So just as the native in the foreign country said, what took you so long? Maybe there's someone in your life waiting for you. Maybe they don't even know it yet. But someone is out there waiting for you to be God's provision for them. Now let's go back to the story of Nong, our youth friend. In April of 2023, he made the decision to become a Christian. And he said, I can't wait any longer. And he did this because there was a missionary that was God's provision for him. There was someone in his life that didn't give up on him. It took 5 years from the time he said he wants to become a Christian to the time he finally said he would. And that was because there was someone out there that was working in his life. And now he's begun doing his own Bible study. He's continuing to grow in his relationship with the Lord. And these are victory stories that I just can't wait to be a part of. These are victory stories you can be a part of if you decide to be a missionary right here in your own home. So my goal is to be on the field by this summer. In order for that to happen, I need to build a team of partners who can be involved in this journey through prayer and through giving financially. And these partners have a key role in the ministry taking place in Cambodia. To be a part of this ministry, I need to raise $6,100 a month. My short-term goal is to be at 70% by the end of May. So this is something that you can help me do. As an example, if 12 people were to partner with me at $50 a month, I would reach the goal of being at 70% funded. So please, I ask you to pray if this is something that God is putting on your heart to be a financial partner in what's taking place in Cambodia. Now, there's a couple ways that this can happen. I've got some information about giving here on the next slide. One of the things that's also huge is prayer partners. I'm looking for people who are devoted to praying for the things taking place in Cambodia and praying for the ministry taking place. And so what you have with you in your bulletins, you'll notice there was a partnership card in there. And if you're interested in being on my prayer team, receiving updates about what's taking place, would you please fill that out with some general information? There's a mark there that you can mark you're interested in being on the prayer team and receiving updates. And then I've got a table set up back here, and you can fold that up and place it in a bowl there. I've got a little Cambodia bowl that you can put it in. And then I've got prayer cards at my table that you can take to remind yourself to pray. And I've also got some Khmer cash, that's their money, that you can also take as a reminder to pray for what's going on in Cambodia. Now, if you're interested in financial partnership, same thing, you've got that partnership card, you can fill out some general information, and you can mark that you're interested in financial partnership. I am looking for monthly supporters, and I also do take one-time gifts or annual gifts, but I am mostly seeking monthly support. And so if this is something that you're feeling called to do, again, yep, you can fill that out and put that in my bowl there in the back. And you can take a prayer card. You can take some Kamai cash. I also have some durian back there. It's a special fruit that is grown in Southeast Asia. It's freeze-dried, and I brought some back for people to try. So if you're feeling brave and you want to try some durian, I encourage you to come do that. There's another way to give, and I think you might be familiar with this. It's steer. So this is a way to give if you are a rancher, and it's basically just raising up cattle, and they give you everything you need for that. It's just the your labor and the food, and then it's an annual gift that comes towards supporting me. So if that's something that you're interested in, there's some more of these back there, and it's actually located in Bismarck here, their headquarters. Is that right? Yeah. So that is another way to be involved in what's going on if you're a rancher or that is part of your lifestyle. And so I ask, will you join me in financial support so that together God's name can be known in Cambodia? Thank you.
We'll let her have a seat. Now, as many of you know, I've been to Cambodia several times. She's telling me all the nice stuff. How many of you remember my Cambodia diet? I lost 27 pounds in 10 days. I got an amoeba. She's not going to the, what you'd call the Ritz. I mean, Siem Reap's a town of 100,000 people, and it does not have a sewer system. It's all outhouses. Our missionaries are out in the world. They're doing and going to places you and I can't go. It's a wonderful thing to think about. And she said she'd come here on Mother's Day. So now in fairness, it's a great Mother's Day gift to you. See, the simple fact is, did you hear that word orphanage? They have a lot of them in Cambodia. It costs money to go to school. School is not paid for publicly. If you wish to send your child to school, last time I was there, and I don't know the current rate, but I'm just going off the last time I was there, it was a nickel for a half a day and a dime for a full day to send your kid to school. And you sit there and say, they can't do that. See, the Wesleyan Church went and dug water wells everywhere. We like water wells. You dig a water well, and you give them the water of life that keeps them alive, and then you give them the water of life that grows them, that saves them. Now, just so you all know, I got a sermon here. Okay? And you all know me. I got those things called slides and that. But I look at the time. And my Mother's Day gifts, you get to the meals on time, is... No. You ask my wife. I mean, it's all highlighted. But I do want you to know that today is the 110th anniversary of Mother's Day. It was originally signed in by Woodrow Wilson in the year 1400. No, 04. I had to do some math in my head because I tore up my sermon. But think about this. Today, we celebrate moms. And many of you have lost your mom, or they've gone home. I would tell you, one of the great memorials that we do for fallen families is Gideon's, which is a mission partner. And there is nothing wrong with doing a mission project yourself. If you've never thought about supporting a missionary, she's a fantastic lady. See, you're going to laugh about this. West Global Partners called me about her. They gave me her information, so I call her. She wasn't expecting a call from Bismarck, North Dakota, right? We just grabbed her because she's going to Cambodia. Oh, no, I've been there, right? And then we told her we're going to support her as a church. Yeah, we got her picture up on the missionary wall, so it's nothing exciting to some of you. God's placed her in our care. See, missionaries can't go to a mission field without prayer support. So if you ain't signed up as a prayer partner, what are you doing? Okay, at least get that part done. They're going to a field where the killing fields were done. Now, some of you know this, and then I'm going to end so you all get to your Mother's Day dinner on time. How many of you have got reservations for dinner? I don't either, and so we're taking her out, so I don't know where we're going, and means we're going to stand in the line. The Khmer Rouge during the Vietnam War killed everybody who wore glasses because they could read. They killed all the doctors, all the nurses, all the teachers. They had what was called the killing fields. And because there's still some lovely children available, I'm not going to cover all that. I've been to them. I've seen them. 100,000 people in a pit. So that's why they have all young people in this country, because everybody who was old was killed. But that also killed all the people they could teach. There's a teacher who's teaching high school that actually only graduated sixth grade. Everything beyond that she taught herself, because they didn't have nobody who could teach them how to read or write. This is the country you could support by prayer or by finances. You don't have to be rich. You can do $5 a month. But what are you doing with, where's your treasure at? Maybe in honor of your mom. Take a year. Take a two. I have no problem telling you about missions. You look on the mission wall out there, our church does several things good. We do kids well. Not perfect, but we do it well. There's always kids. Come here at 2 o'clock on Monday and there'll be kids out in the playground. 4 o'clock on Monday, there'll be kids out in the playground. Do you know you can tell the difference when there's a real hurt and a non-real hurt? A kid stepped on a weed the other day. Did you know those things are out in the field? They were until somebody sprayed them all. Justin went out there with his tractor and he was spraying weeds way early in the morning, right? So the kids, I don't know what those weeds are that have thorns, but they hurt. We do missions well. You know, Keith Nash, we you know that. We do fellowship well. Can't do everything well, but we do what we do well. But missions has always been a keystone of this church. If you look at our giving, the units, and we have steer units that we know of, 15 that you learned at year end, but we got a whole bunch of people have left us to kind of be in charge of. So if you know a farmer or a rancher, you got a relative, you can do corn, soybean, they'll do anything but horses. They've never won on horses. But they've done chickens and turkeys. But that's another way to give. But moms, today's about you. But I can tell you there's lots and lots of orphanages in Cambodia. Because of the sex trade and the sexual trafficking and the women pulled into sex slavery, kids, they have orphanages. And they all need to hear. We cannot comprehend the blessings we have here in America compared to some of the other places in the country, where fresh water alone is a blessing. We have other missionaries sitting right over here. They were in South Africa. They were lost there for a while. Now they're found. We stole them. We just do missions. Now, what's going to happen is we're going to have our prayer time. We're going to have, and then we'll have a final closing of the song. And then Diane's made goodies. And there's a table out there, and you really got to go out there. But if you do nothing else, get down. There's a prayer partner so you can find out what's going on. But they aren't asking for the moon. They ask for just a few dollars. Think about it. They go to places you can't go, just like the Gideons. They share God's word where you can't share it. We need to close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, on this Mother's Day, we celebrate the fact that it's the 110th anniversary of Mother's Day. But your holy word said we are to honor mothers and fathers way before man ever thought about doing it for a holiday. And it says if we do it, our lives will go well. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the blessing of your holy word. We thank you for the beauty of your word. Give us the power to share. And all God's people said, amen.